for, great to see everybody, and see everybody here. What we want to do when the service is done is, we'll have the usher, and we'll exit from the back pews first, so that people don't have to walk by each other anymore than necessary. And we just ask them to depart the building. And if people have questions about anything today, or, please feel free to contact the elders, let us know if there's problems or difficulties or anything like that. Other than that, sure, good to see you up there, Pastor.
Well, good morning, everyone.
Good morning.
It's good to be back. Very good to be back. Can you hear me okay? Okay. As you know, things are going to be different for a while. I don't know how long, but we have to abide by the rules whether we agree with them or not. So that's the predicament that we're in right now. But anyway, I'll be doing everything from, at least for a while, from the pulpit side because I don't really have my balance like I should yet, so I don't want to, you know, embarrass you and fall down and all that stuff. So as far as my physical condition, things are going great. Things are going great. Got my new leg and all that stuff. Mentally, I have to work on that a little, but it's just good to be back amongst some fine Christian friends. Okay, let's begin in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Amen. Make haste, O God, to deliver me.
Make haste to help me, O Lord.
The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit.
A broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Ghost, as it was in the beginning, is now, and ever shall be, world without end. Amen.
I now ask you before God who searches your heart, do you sincerely confess that you have sinned against God and deserve his wrath and punishment? Then declare so by saying, I do confess.
I do confess,
and verily you should confess. For Holy Scripture declares, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves, and the truth is not in us. Do you heartily repent of all of your sins, committed in thought, word, and deed? Then declare so by saying, I do repent.
I do repent,
and verily you should repent, as did the penitent sinners, King David, who prayed for a contrite heart, Peter wept bitterly, the sinful woman, the prodigal son, and others. Do you sincerely believe that God, by grace for Jesus' sake, will forgive you all of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe.
I do believe,
and verily you should believe. For Holy Scripture declares, God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you promise that with the aid of the Holy Ghost, you will henceforth amend your sinful life? Then declare so by saying, I do promise.
I do promise,
and verily you should promise. For Christ the Lord says, let your light so shine before men, that they may see your good works and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Finally, do you believe that through me, a called servant of God, you will receive the forgiveness of your sins? Then declare so by saying, I do believe. And as you believe, even so may be it unto you. Upon this, your confession, I, by virtue of my office as a called and ordained servant of the word, announce the grace of God unto you. And in the stead and by the command of my Lord Jesus Christ, I forgive you all of your sins. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.
Amen.
The Apostles' Creed. I believe in God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and in Jesus Christ, his only Son, our Lord, who was conceived by the Holy Ghost, born of the Virgin Mary, suffered under Pontius Pilate, was crucified, dead, and buried. He descended into hell. The third day he rose again from the dead. He ascended into heaven and sitteth on the right hand of God the Father Almighty. From thence he shall come to judge the quick and the dead. I believe in the Holy Ghost, the Holy Christian Church, the communion of saints, the forgiveness of sins, the resurrection of the body, and the life everlasting. Amen. The confessional reading, the sixth commandment, thou shalt not commit adultery. This commandment is focused specifically on marriage and thus gives us occasion to speak of this estate. Let us therefore, first of all, note carefully how very highly God honors and extols married life by giving it his sanction and protection in the Ten Commandments. He sanctioned it earlier in the fourth commandment, you shall honor your father and your mother. But here, as I said, he safeguards and protects it. Therefore, he wants to see it honored, upheld, and treated also by us as being divinely instituted and full of blessings. For he established it as the first one of all his institutions, and he created man and woman with obvious differences, not for wickedness, but that they may be and remain attracted to each other, be faithful, have children, care for them, and bring them up to the glory of God. God has therefore most richly blessed marriage above all other estates. In addition, everything that the world contains, he has assigned and devoted to providing marriage amply and richly with all that it needs. Married life is not a matter of jesting or impertinence. It is something splendid, the object of serious divine care and concern. That person be brought up to serve the world and to promote the knowledge of God, godly life and the virtue of every kind, and to fight wickedness of the devil. These are matters that have the highest priority with God. Therefore, I have always taught that we should not look down upon marriage or undervalue it, as the blind world and the false clergy are doing. We are rather to view it in light of the Word of God, which adorns and sanctifies it. Marriage is not merely to be placed on the level with other estates. It is to be put ahead and above them all, whether that be emperor, princes, bishops, or anyone else. Whatever saints and special and civil estates may have, they must nevertheless humble themselves and, as we shall appear here, permit anyone to enter the estate of matrimony. Marriage is therefore not an exceptional state, but the most universal and noblest one extending throughout Christendom and even the entire world. So far, the confessional reading. This morning's Old Testament, Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus saith the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, neither let the mighty man glory in his might, let not the rich man glory in his riches. But let him that glorieth glory in this, that he understandeth and knoweth me, that I am the Lord, which exercise loving kindness and judgment and righteousness in the earth. For in these things I delight, saith the Lord. So far the Old Testament. This morning's epistle, 1 John chapter 4. And we have known and believed the love that God hath to us. God is love. And he that dwelleth in love dwelleth in God, and God in him. Herein is our love made perfect, that we may have boldness in the day of judgment, because as he is, so are we in this world. There is no fear in love, but perfect love casts out fear, because fear hath torment. He that feareth is not made perfect in love. We love him because he first loved us. If a man say, I love God, and hates his brother, he's a liar. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God loveth his brother also. So far the epistle. And please rise for the reading of the Holy Gospel. The The Gospel according to St. Luke, chapter 16. There was a rich man which was clothed in purple and fine linen, and fared sumptuously every day. And there was a certain beggar named Lazarus, which laid at his gate full of sores. And desiring to be fed with the crumbs which fell from the rich man's table, but moreover, dogs came and licked his sores. And it came to pass that the beggar died and was carried by the angels into Abraham's bosom. The rich man also died, and he was buried. And in hell he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and seeth Abraham far off, and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger in water and cool my tongue, for I am tormented in this flame. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy lifetime receivest thy good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. Now he is comforted, and thou art tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from hence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us, they would come from thence. And then he said, Well, I pray thee therefore, Father, that you would send him to my father's house. I have five brothers, that they may testify unto them, lest they also come to this place of torment. And Abraham said unto him, They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. And he said, No, Father Abraham, but if one went unto them from the dead, they would repent. And he said unto him again, If they do not hear Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded though one rose from the dead. So far, please be seated. Grace, mercy, and peace from our triune God, God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit. Amen.
Amen.
In our gospel, Jesus tells us about a certain rich man. But in reality, he was a rich man who was very poor. He also tells us about a poor man. But in reality, this poor man was very rich. The rich man had all the earthly comforts that money could buy. His life consisted in the enjoyment that all the pleasures his wealth could bring him. But now in the case of the rich man, of course we have to realize that it was not the wealth itself that was bad, but with great wealth comes great responsibility. He closed his eyes to his opportunity to do good to his fellow man. He had no godly love for the unfortunate, and one of them lay at his very gate. Once again, it was not his wealth, but his use of it was bad. He earned for himself a place of eternal torments in hell. And in hell, he lifted up his eyes, being in torments, and see Father Abraham afar off and Lazarus in his bosom. He cried out and said, Father Abraham, have mercy on me, and send Lazarus that he may dip the tip of his finger into cold water, because my tongue is burning. And now from his place of just reward, he cries out for help. But notice here, his concern once again is his bodily comfort in this place of torments. And notice also that as he had no time for God in his life, even now he calls not upon God, but he calls upon Abraham for help. He wanted Lazarus to run an errand for him. Evidently, beggars, or even former beggars, were good for only running errands. However, he will receive no help. But Abraham said, Son, remember that thou in thy day received good things, and likewise Lazarus evil things. But now he is comforted, and you're tormented. And besides all this, between us and you there is a great gulf fixed, so that they which would pass from thence to you cannot, and neither can they pass to us that would come from thence. God himself assures us that there will be no traffic between the place of comfort and the place of torments. The status of the departed soul is decided once and for all when they enter eternity, and that status will never change. And now the rich man reflects for a moment on his awful fate. His thoughts turn to his five brothers. He realizes now that the same disregard for God that brought him here will also bring them here. And he wants them warned. He dreads to see their pain. But the answer that Abraham gives is the clear reason why the rich man did not receive eternal life. It also shows us the true and the only way to be saved from the horrors of eternal damnation. They have Moses and the prophets. Let them hear them. If they hear not Moses and the prophets, neither will they be persuaded, though one rose from the dead. Jesus here points unmistakably to the Word of God. He was referring to that same scriptures when he told those Jews, "They are they which testify of me." And here lies the importance of Scripture. They bear witness to Christ. They show him as the promised salvation and Savior. By hearing these scriptures, faith comes. Faith in the Christ of God. Faith in the one who would come. When Jesus says, "Let them hear them," he means, let them hear so that they understand and believe that all the scriptures talk about me. For if they will not hear, they will not be persuaded, even though one rose from the dead. At the moment a person becomes persuaded, comes to faith in Christ as the true and only Savior, at that moment they are saved. This faith had not come to the rich man, and it will not come to his five brothers except through the hearing of Moses and the prophets. What a poor rich man. Knowledge of the way of salvation through Christ would have been true riches for him, but he did not know this way. What Moses and the prophets pointed to has taken place in the death of Christ on that cross. His death was an atoning death. That was the price of peace between God and people. As Isaiah says, he was wounded for our transgressions. He was bruised for our iniquities. In other words, Christ shouldered our guilt in our place and absorbed the entire wrath of God. This wonderful fact takes us from the shadow of death and sets us in God's beautiful light. Trusting in God's word, we look with assurance to our place in Abraham's bosom. This beggar had riches which money could not buy. His wealth was his faith in God, waiting for the promised deliverance. He knew that God would someday visit his people, and he trusted that promise, and in this faith lay his salvation. Now perhaps you notice that the rich man does not have a name, but Jesus has given the beggar a name. The meaning of Lazarus is God is my helper. This is how Jesus indicates Lazarus' faith, and this is how we know that he depended totally upon God. In difficult times, we may sometimes feel forsaken by God. At times, we may be tempted to give up our trust in God. Jesus wants to teach us by this example, the example of Lazarus, that we need never lose our love and trust in God. He will keep his promises to us. He has redeemed us and he has made us his own. And he will in good time take us and give us the answer to every need and our final reward. One thing for sure, none of us here are as poor as Lazarus. The question is, are we as rich toward God? Salvation, as well as deliverance from the torments of hell, is comprised in the Word of God. There is no salvation in any other thing than Jesus Christ and His Word. The Word, the only means of grace, the message from the dead could not proclaim more important truths than those that are revealed to us in the Bible. This information is final. Abraham here ends his instructions. Nothing else needs to be said. Let us all listen carefully, closely to this morning's gospel. We all need the right attitude toward the hereafter. Eternity is drawing closer every day, and what a mistake not to prepare for it. To walk that path, the broad path, and expect to enter in at the straight gate is a foolish game to play. Let us be warned by the example of the rich man. Let us be an earnest and faithful use of the means of grace, word, and sacrament. And do not expect God to adopt any other means for our salvation. He has limited us to us in his revealed word that is laid down in the Bible. Let us develop a close acquaintance with it. Do not resist the Holy Spirit who works through and in the Word. And fervently pray his influence to keep us all in the one true faith so that we, with all believers, will be taken into Abraham's bosom. For the Word of God is a power and a salvation to everyone that believes. Amen. We do have a prayer request. Matt Peterson and Ruth Preuss were married yesterday. Great couple. We all know Matt, and many of us know Ruth Preuss and the whole Preuss clan. But anyway, a request from the Peterson family. Lord God, Heavenly Father, we thank you for having brought Matthew and Ruth together as husband and wife. Grant that their love always be rooted in that greater love given to us first in your Son, Jesus Christ. We ask for a full measure of the Holy Spirit's wisdom to direct them in all that they do and to help them solve the problems that do arise in marital life. Grant them success in their daily work. And when trials and tensions do come, help them always to have the grace to forgive each other, even as we are forgiven by you for Jesus' sake. We pray also that others may see in their lives the joy of a Christian heart and a Christian home. Lord, continue to bless them and be present in their home always. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come. Thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for he is good.
And his mercy endureth forever.
We give thanks to thee, Almighty God, that thou hast refreshed us through your word. And we beseech thee, that of thy mercy, that you would strengthen us through the same faith toward one another. We pray this through Jesus Christ, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Ghost, ever one God, world without end. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And with thy spirit.
Blessed be the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
The grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the communion of the Holy Spirit be with you now and forever. Amen.